Let's begin by standing together and turning to hymn number 303, and we'll sing Worthy is the Lamb. Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to gather here this evening as believers in Jesus to remember what he did that day for us. Father, we cannot fathom the depth of the love that our Savior has for us, nor the depth of the suffering he went through on that day, and even the night before. And yet he went through that for us, willingly, to pay the price for our sins, so we who had broken his law and rejected him could be restored to him through simple faith alone in his finished work. Father, we rejoice in our Savior. We praise you for him. We praise you for the joy of the truth and the knowledge of what he did that day. Father, we wish it would not have been necessary, that we would not have sinned, but we did. And you knew we would, and you prepared a way that we could still be with you. We praise you for that love and that mercy and that grace that abounds to us, and we pray that as we meditate on him, our glorious Savior, may our love for him grow deeper. May we draw closer to you and to one another as we honor him in this hour. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Chapter 19. John chapter 19, if you have your Bible with you. Beginning at verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now, the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw this his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, how we praise you and thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he was willing to go to the cross to die in our place that we might have everlasting life, that we might be with you forever and ever. Oh, how we praise you, our Father, for your great love to us, your mercy, and your grace. And we pray that you'll help each one of us, our Father, to live for you day by day and to walk in the way that you'd have us to go and to have sweet fellowship with one another and with you. May Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, be glorified tonight as we meditate once again upon the scriptures that tell us all that he went through for our sakes. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for your great love. May we love you and serve you with all of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look once again at John chapter 19. On Sunday, the crowds welcomed him to Jerusalem. You remember? Joyful praises. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And now tonight, a few short days later, we find him facing judgment and death. Betrayed by one of his disciples. Denied by Peter. Forsaken by almost everyone. He stands alone before his accusers. The Jewish leaders gave him a mock trial, convicted him of blasphemy because he admitted that he was the Son of God. And now they bring him to the Roman governor to have him executed. We find Jesus on trial here. And in the first part that we read, the soldiers taking him apart and mistreating him and abusing him. Scourging was a legal preliminary to every Roman execution. A cruel means of punishment. And often the prisoner would die even before being crucified from all of the abuse. They dressed the Lord in a purple robe and placed a crown of thorns on his head in order to mock him. They bowed before him and pretended to honor him as king while striking him with their hands. It was all a cruel game at Christ's expense. Pilate hoped the Jews would be satisfied with this scourging and allow him to release Jesus. He was conflicted. He knew that Christ was innocent. He who rendered his verdict. He said it over and over again. He says, I find no fault in him at all. He said, behold the man. Again he said, behold your king. Here he is. Unbeknown to Pilate, this pitiful, wounded man was preparing to be a sacrifice that would set free those who placed their faith in him. We find that throughout the New Testament and even in the Old. We find the scriptures that tell us that he died for us, set us free from our sins that we might be redeemed. In Isaiah 53, as you well know, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. Pilate allowed the mob to determine his judgment. He was afraid of an uprising. You know, Pilate seemed to be kind of a guy who wants to get along and have everybody like him, you know. He wanted to remain a friend of Caesar's by all means, right? And he wanted to please the Jews so there wouldn't be the problem there with the uprising. He was afraid of offending anyone. And finally, Pilate literally washed his hands. You remember? He washed his hands. He said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. Can you imagine? The people answered, his blood be upon us and on our children. What a terrible thing to say, huh? Think of that. May his blood be upon us and our children. Then he delivered him to be crucified. The old spiritual that Mark played a while ago, it says, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? None of us, of course, were there physically, could not have been when Jesus was crucified. But in our mind's eye, let's see ourselves there in the crowd at the place of execution. The skull-shaped hill called Golgotha or Calvary. Why have we come to this place? Is it to be entertained by the suffering of others? Some seem to be entertained as they watched him die. Is it idle curiosity or genuine interest in the fate of Jesus of Nazareth? Who do we find at the foot of the cross? There we've noticed, it said that there were four ladies and his one disciple. You remember Jesus had 12 disciples originally, didn't he? One of them showed up at the cross. And we find here that they were there to see what would happen to him. The soldiers, of course, were there. They were on duty. They had to do their work. And to them, this was just another task. You know, this was the Roman way of executing any offender that really did something very bad. And so it was something ordinary to them. Soldiers just went about their work. The centurion was there to oversee everything and to make sure it was done correctly. The religious leaders milling about to make sure that Jesus really died. They really wanted to get rid of him. The crowd, mixed feelings, chose someone else in place of Jesus. You remember Pilate said, you know, at Passover time, we always release a prisoner, you know? Give you back one that's been convicted. Whom would you like for me to release? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, or Barabbas, the Son of the Father? That's what Barabbas means, isn't it? Jesus was the Son of God, Son of the Heavenly Father. Barabbas was the son of a man, and he was a robber and an insurrectionist. So who did they choose? They chose Barabbas. They wanted to see Jesus crucified, to be killed. So here we have the crowd, and then, as I said, his disciples, the four women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, of course, was there, no doubt, weeping, distraught. Her sister, Salome, thought to be the mother of James and John, and the wife of Zebedee, some of the disciples of Jesus, these fishermen that had come to know him. And as she looked up at Jesus with the sign Pilate put over the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, perhaps she remembered her request that her two sons be placed one on one side and one on the other of Jesus in his kingdom. And no doubt she remembered this and was so glad that he didn't allow that to happen, that they were not there. There were the two thieves hanging side by side with Jesus. And here he's flanked by these two men. You remember one of them repented. One of them acknowledged who he was. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. What a wonderful thing that was. The other one, of course, refused, continued in his unbelief and died in that way. But anyway, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, was one of the faithful women that followed Jesus and his disciples and ministered to him. There was this group of ladies that did that, and this lady was one of them. And then, of course, Mary Magdalene, the one out of whom he had cast 7 demons, and no doubt who had been tormented by them. And Jesus set her free. She was so grateful that everywhere he went, she went. She was always there, close by at hand, helping him and ministering to his needs. And we know, of course, on Easter morning, there she was at the tomb, one of the very first ones to come. Her life was completely transformed. She's a beautiful picture of the change that takes place in someone's life when they come to know the Lord Jesus in a real living way. Only one, as I said, of the 12 disciples was present at the cross, John, apparently the youngest of the disciples, and one who was known because of his love for the Lord, and because he said, "I am the one that Jesus loved." He had that special bond with him. And so we find these are the ones that are there. And kind of a small crowd, I guess, of followers, when you think about it. Most of the other crowd that were there were antagonistic to Jesus. And here we find these dear ones there weeping with him. So, what do we hear at the foot of the cross? You hear noises, right? The noise of the crowd milling about. All of the whisperings and shouts and saying, "Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God," you know. Making fun constantly, the ridicule of the religious leaders that would not receive him, and the weeping of the loved ones. No doubt, very small group of people there, but they wept as they thought of what was happening to him. And you remember what Jesus had to say, right? On the cross, the words of the Savior. He has 7 sayings. I know there's sermons that are preached on each one of these, and we could go on all night, but we won't. How's that? Okay. Well, I just notice, what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see the loving heart of Jesus forgiving those who nailed him to the tree. "Father, forgive them. They're so ignorant. They don't know who I am." He told the thief that repented of his sin, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He told his mother, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And to his disciples, he said, "Behold thy mother." Another thing about Jesus, even in his moment of dying, suffering all kinds of pain and anguish, he thought of others. He thought of his mother, right? He wanted to make sure that she was cared for. And so John took her into his home and cared for her for the rest of her life. And he goes on, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is what comes right out of Psalm 22, where it says that he said, well, let me turn to that because I'm getting confused here. Psalm 22, I'd like to just read a little bit of that. Psalm 22. Find it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and am not silent. All alone, you know. The song says, alone, alone, all alone, Jesus suffered and died for us. Thou art holy, but O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. So there, we find worshiping the Father even in the moment when he's been forsaken by him. Why did God turn his back, so to speak, on his Son? Because he was bearing upon himself the sins of the world. And God is too holy to look upon sin, it tells us in one of the prophets. He cannot tolerate sin. Sin has to be paid for. And you know, we all, as human beings, have sinned against God, right? We know that. We know that we're not perfect. And yet that sin has to be paid for. Someone has to pay the price for that sin to be forgiven. And here we find in this scene before us tonight, Jesus paying the price for our sin. He had no sin of his own, and yet he took it upon himself to die in our place that we might be forgiven. And all he asks us to do is to believe him, to receive him, to know him, to have fellowship with him, to have a relationship with him. Yield yourself to him. That's what he says. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because he took our sins upon himself. And then right before he died, he says, I thirst. According to that it might be fulfilled in the scriptures, that the word of God might be held true no matter what. He says, I thirst. And then, as he died, he says, it is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's all over. This is it. It's done. The price has been paid for our sins to be forgiven. And he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He placed himself once again in the Father's hands. The one who had forsaken him before, now it's over. Now the relationship has been reestablished and he is no longer bearing our sins. It's all been done. Once for all, right? Once for all. And now it's over. We are forgiven. We have eternal life because of what Jesus did for us. I found this song in my notes. It's called He Died for Me by John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. It says, I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. It was for me upon a tree he died in agony. And now I give my life to live for him who died for me. Sure never, till my latest breath, can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. It was for me upon a tree. He died in agony, and now I give my life to live for him who died. for me. Is that our testimony tonight? He died for me. I will live for him. That's what we need to think about. Jesus died for you. Live your life for him. How thankful we should be for the good news of salvation. And never forget, Jesus died for me. He paid the price. And he ever lives now interceding for us on high. And we look to him for our salvation, for our for all that we need, we find in him. May the Lord speak to each one of us. Okay. We have 656. 656 in the hymn book as we're going to be having communion. Take time to be holy.